somebody thinks, I don't want to go to Africa. Right? You're starting to make excuses in your mind right now of why you can't go to Africa. I have responsibilities. I have kids. I don't want to see naked people. You know, right? You're supposed to laugh. Okay. And if you do want to see naked people, that's weird. We're going to have an altar call for that afterwards. Okay, so, we come up with these excuses. We're like, man, I don't know, Austin. I know what you're about to tell me. You're already hit comfort zone, so I know what you're about to say. And you're already, how many of you are bracing yourself a little bit, to be honest, right? No one's raising their hands. It means all of you. Okay, so everyone's kind of like, okay, what's coming? Is he going to challenge me with something? Is he going to tell me that I'm doing a horrible job by sitting here in the chair and you should be helping people right now even? No, I'm not going to actually challenge you guys with anything. Everyone go, okay. But I am going to invite you on a journey this morning. A journey that I think is much more realistic to us, because I could get up here and tell you everything you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to get out, and you're supposed to talk to people, and you're supposed to tell people about Jesus, and all these things, but it doesn't really do any good. You would go out, and you would probably do what I tell you for maybe a week, and then you'd go back to your comfort zone, right? That's how it works, right? Can we be honest? Like, we get really charged up, and the first person that we talk to when we eat lunch, we're like, do you know about Jesus? And then they give us this really weird face, we're like, well, that's the last time I talked to someone about that, you know, like, that's how it works, right? But if I invite you on a journey, I think instead of doing something because we feel bad, we're guilted into something, I would rather you begin a journey with Christ that would change the very fabric of who you are. And then we might be able to get out of our comfort zones. Amen? In Luke 24, verse 46, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Now, he just kind of shows up after he's died, and he's talking to them. And he says this in verse 46. He says, it is written long ago that a Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem, where they are at. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. So this is the message. Now you are witnesses of all these things. He tells them that because they are, right? They're witnesses of all these things that have happened. They saw Jesus, they walked with him, they lived with him, they saw him die, and then they saw him come back to life. So you're witnesses of all these things. And they then are supposed to take this message and take it around the world. And in verse 49 it says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. It's really important. Because before this, Jesus had walked with them. They had gotten to know Jesus. They had gotten to know him very well. In fact, they kind of knew how he thought and what he, you know, most of the time, what he was thinking and how he was going to act in a situation. And so they kind of got very comfortable with him. They're living in this comfort zone with Jesus, right? And then all of a sudden he leaves. He dies. And they're like, what do we do now? And if you read what they did after this, they went back to their comfort zones, right? They went back to fishing. In fact, Jesus sees them there and he actually makes fish for them on the side of the water, that word. And they come to him and he makes fish and they hang out. They went back to their comfort zone. In fact, when we find them, and we're going to read a little bit more about this here in a moment, but when Jesus finds them here in this moment, they're just sitting together in their little holy huddle. They don't want to talk to anyone about what's going on. In fact, they're scared and terrified out of their mind. They're just sitting in this group, kind of going, what do we do now? You see them in the Bible after Jesus died. They're always just together until this moment. Until one happens after that. Which sounds like a lot of churches today. In our own little holy huddle. We're not sure what to do because they're outside and we're in here. And we're not sure what we do. And then Jesus shows up. He's like, hey guys, the message that you guys have learned is to be proclaimed throughout the world. And he says, wait though, my Father's going to send you the Holy Spirit. They had gone back to their normal. In fact, if we go before this, it's really important. I want to look at this, how scared and terrified the disciples actually were. In verse 35, if we go back a little bit, it says, then the two, which is two people that Jesus had just shown up to on the road earlier, says, then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking around along the road and how they had recognized him as he was breaking bread. And just as they were telling about it, imagine this moment, church, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. So Jesus just pops in. Literally pops in, okay? And he says, peace be with you, he says. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they had seen a ghost. So this group of people are so, his disciples, his awesome men of God, are so freaked out. He's like, peace be with you. And they're like, aww. You know, they think he's a ghost. They would rather think he's a ghost than think he was actually human. In verse 38, I like this. I think Jesus is kind of a jokester. He says, why are you frightened? He asked. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands and look at my feet. You can see it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost. He's like, can you imagine? Jesus is like, touch me. They touch him. He's like, bah! You know, like, that's what I would do. Like, freak him out. Okay. He says, hey, touch me. See that I am real. As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Verse 41, it says, still, they stood in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? Jesus is just, you know. They gave him a piece of broiled fish and he ate it as they watched. Like, literally, Jesus just pops in the room, which shows his mastery over the physical world like we could never explain, right? He just pops in. And there's these disciples, and they're sitting there. They're terrified. And then Jesus is like, look, touch my body. I'm real. And they're just standing there, staring at him, kind of like you are right now with me, just staring. And then Jesus is like, hey, you got something to eat? They give him a fish. And he's probably just sitting there like, sup? You know, like, I love this. Jesus is like that guy that you're not... I don't know. If I was these disciples, I'm like, you're like sitting there just waiting for something big to happen, and Jesus just sitting, eating fish, and like, again, I would scare him or terrify him if I was Jesus, but that's why I'm not. So, it sounds like a lot of churches today, right? Them in this room, in this holy huddle, in their comfort zone, and then Jesus tells them, hey, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to come, and he's going to begin to change you, and he says, wait. Wait until that person comes, that Holy Spirit comes, and begins to change your life. He tells them the Holy Spirit is going to make them into something they could never be on their own before. Remember, they're terrified. They haven't told one person yet, at least that we know of, about Jesus. Not one. And then in Acts 2, this moment happens. In verse 1, it says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. Which a lot of us just think that it's just like, you know, tongues of fire came down. Like, there was something very big, like an explosion almost, and everyone just comes running. And it says this, they were completely amazed. How can this be, they exclaim. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people of Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, and it goes through a lot of Ayas and Irenes and, you know, those kind of things. And we all hear these people speaking in our own language about the wonderful things that God has done. They stood together amazed and perplexed and said, what can this mean? They asked each other. What can this mean? If there's not something powerful happening in our life, then it's probably because we're sitting in our comfort zones. God has empowered and sent the Holy Spirit to change us and to make us into people that we could never be on our own. Before, without the Holy Spirit, we'd all just be sitting in our comfort zones. And if we find ourselves in our comfort zone, there's a reason for it, right? There's a reason for it. See, Peter, this man who was just fishing after Jesus had died, all of a sudden, he stands up after being filled with the Holy Spirit, and he gives this bomb sermon because 3,000 people get saved. I have never done that, okay? Now, I don't know many preachers who have. Just stand up, and 3,000 people, we're giving our life to Jesus. It's like, awesome, great moment. But what's so cool about this, it had nothing to do with Peter. It had everything to do with the Holy Spirit. Because before, he couldn't do that, right? Sometimes we get really full of ourselves and think, I'm the one that's going to go help. I'm going to do all these great things. But it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit, right? That changes people, that makes people. In fact, I could preach the best sermon of my life, and if the Holy Spirit isn't part of it, it's not going to do anything, right? And so the Holy Spirit comes. He begins to change us. See, what happened in the upper room is they left their comfort zone, and they instead started living in the comforter's zone. I'm going to say it again because it's going to sink in. They began to live in the comforter's zone instead of living in their comfort zone. John 14:26, and this is the Amplified Bible, so it gives a little more of like what that Greek word might mean, or a little bit more information. It says in verse 26, it says, Jesus is talking to his disciples, it says, but the helper or comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. I like that, how it adds, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. Before, they were a bunch of scared people. Before, they were a holy huddle. But then the Holy Spirit comes, and they begin to be in the comforter's zone, the one who would comfort them and make them into something they could never be before. And all of a sudden, they have no problem telling people about Jesus. I'll never forget the first time that I had to tell someone that I was a Christian. I had gone to church and stuff like that, but in middle school, we had to make these banners or poster boards about who we were, right? And I remember I had baseball on there and video games, Pokemon, those kind of things. I'm young. And all this stuff on there. And then I had this cross that was right in the middle. And I was terrified to talk to people about being a Christian. In fact, I remember standing up there, and I'm like, hi, my name's Austin. My voice is like this. Hi, my name's... I hadn't hit puberty yet. And I was talking in a really high voice, and I started telling them about how is this and how is that. And then I remember the last thing I said was, I'm a Christian. And even as I said it, like literally my breath just went out for me. I'm like, a Christian, you know? And they're like, you're what? I'm like, I'm a Christian, you know? I'm literally sweating bullets. Why? Because it was my own strength, and I really didn't know a lot about God at that point. I didn't really know him very well. I didn't have that great relationship with him. And now, I don't go much more than a day without talking about Jesus to someone, right? It's because of this, because I began to learn that I need to live in the comforter's zone. In fact, my one point today is this: are you living in the comforter's zone? I want you guys to remember that. That's going to help you remember everything I talked about this morning. You could go, am I living in the comforter zone? Here's why it's so important. If we're not living in the comforter zone, then we're living in our comfort zone. The comfort zone is described as this: a behavioral space where your activities and behaviors fit a routine and a pattern that minimizes stress and risk. See, the operative words here being stress and risk. In our comfort zone, there is a sense of familiarity, security, and certainty. Now, when we step outside of our comfort zone, we're taking a risk and opening ourselves up to the possibility of stress and anxiety, and we're not quite sure what's going to happen or how we'll react. If we're stepping in our comfort zone, we don't want to get out of it. You know, I don't know what your comfort zone is. For me, honestly, it's probably television, sitting at home in my living room, just vegging. That's my comfort zone. I am happy. I'm watching soccer or baseball, football, anything with a sport. Like, I'm happy, right? I'm good. Life's good. My kids can be screaming. I'm okay with that, right? Because it's okay. Like, we're in our comfort zone. This is our family. This is our home. There's no big deal. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's your hobbies. Maybe it's your money. Maybe it's all these things that we fill our life with. But let me tell you this. What happens when they leave? What happens when the things we're finding our comfort zone in begin to change and morph? That's why people leave churches. The wall's now black. It used to be tan. Now it's black. My whole world has changed, right? They used to do projection like this, but flipping a thing, and now it's on the screens. My whole life has changed. Why? Because you're finding your comfort in something wrong. The worship's changed. Oh man, the worship is changing. If you're getting upset about that, it's because your comfort's in worship, songs, not God. Right? Just being real. Sometimes we put comfort in things we feel are religious, feel that they're God, but in fact, we're just making ourselves happy. Oh God, I went and helped someone in Houston today. That's cool. Did you bring them me? Jesus. See, we can do a lot of religious activity that we think are great and happy and awesome. And yeah, going and helping people, that's what God wants us to do. All those things. But here's the deal. Are we doing it in our own strength? In our own comfort zone? Or are we in the comforter's zone? Because if you're in the comforter's zone, you're not going to stress out when things change. You're not going to stress out when finances start getting hard because you realize the comforter, he's got this. You're not going to freak out when family changes because a lot of people find their comfort in their family. You know, oh, so-and-so, you know, is going on a tangent. So-and-so is not happy right now. And our whole life is just thrown upside down. Why? Because that's where we're finding our comfort, right? Our comfort zone's our family, our friends, our hobbies, those things. And if they begin to change and morph, then life just goes wacko. The disciples found their comfort in Jesus, which is great, but when he left, then they didn't know what to do, right? But Jesus says, hey, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He is going to change you. He's going to teach you. In fact, like it says in John 14, he says, hey, I am going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he is going to represent me in every way, right? So not only does he have to leave, but he is going to send someone that is going to perfectly represent him. And it's someone that lives inside each and every one of us that believe in Christ, right? The Holy Spirit, the Comforter. So are we living in the comfort zone, or do we allow so many things to get in the way of that? Do we allow so many things to pull us and make us just freak out, lose our minds every time something changes? See, when you're living in the comforter's zone, you're not going to have a problem telling people about Jesus. Right? I tell people this all the time. We have no problem, you've probably heard me say it, we have no problem talking to people about the things that we love or the things that we find our comfort in, right? For me, I have a second job at the bow shop down the road. And so every time someone comes in, what do we talk about? Shooting bows, hunting, and that's about it, right? Like, that's what we talk about. Why? Because that's what everyone's really comfortable with. We love talking about it, right? Well, if you're really comfortable in your relationship with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, then you're going to find yourself just talking about him all the time. See, like I said from the beginning, I could come up here and say, go tell people about Jesus. Today, when you go to lunch, you need to talk to your person that serves you. Tell them about Jesus. And that's cool. You should do that. But not because you feel guilted into doing it, but because you feel compelled to do it. You can't help yourself because you have a relationship with God that is so strong that it begins to change you. And if you're not there today, that's okay. We've got a lifetime of a journey with Jesus. I think so many of us as Christians, we think, I got to do this today. Everything's got to get figured out today, this moment, right? But God's saying, hey, this is a lifetime journey. I just, every day, I want you to just begin to wake up. Start talking to me. Start getting to know me. The more you get to know Jesus, it's going to be a natural thing that has happened in your life, right? We put so much stress on ourselves. When Jesus, like, the whole time is like, hey, I love you. I'm here with you. The Holy Spirit's in you. And if you just give it to me, like, I'm going to change the world through you. But stop doing that on your own strength. Stop trying to just make things happen. Just get to know me. Because when we're in the comforter zone, like, he's going to be all that matters to us. I mean, we have lots of fun things that we do. We have lots of hobbies, and those are all okay. But let's find the most important thing in Christ, right? Paul gets this. In Philippians 3, verse 7, he says this. I once thought that all these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. He's talking about worldly things, his pedigree before this, and how he is this strong, amazing Jewish man, but then he says, hey, it doesn't matter, because Christ changed me. And for me, I could fill in how much is in my bank account. Shouldn't much. I could fill in, I have a four-bedroom house, I have the family. I could fill in all these things, but then I'd say, but I count it all as nothing. Because eternally, it makes no difference. Eternally, all that matters is that someday, I am going to walk into heaven. And I believe that God is going to open our eyes to the people that we are able to change. Not because of us, but because we just said yes. When I was in Albuquerque last week, I got to do something really special. It was my parents' 25th wedding anniversary, my father and my stepmother, and I got to do the vows with them. They renewed their vows. And it was this really special thing for me, and we snotted all over and cried, and it was this wonderful thing. They had at the end, it was me and my two siblings talked about them, how great they were, how wonderful of parents they were. And, you know, again, crying and snotting all over ourselves and everything. And they had about 80 people at this party, and about 20 of them came up, and every single person shared that you guys love God. You love the Lord. You showed me God. And through all you guys have been through, you represented Christ to me. And I don't know if you know anything about my parents, but my dad, a couple years ago, he had to go bankrupt because of his business. They're even right now having to sell their home because they just don't have the money to keep it. And it blew me away sitting there because so many people, by the point where my parents were or are, they would have lost their faith in God. They would have been questioning him. They would have been saying, hey, God, what is going on? But the thing about my dad and my stepmom that has just blown me away through all of this and through these stories that these people were telling is that you guys, no matter what you go through, your consistent comfort is Christ. And that's it. And the last thing I said as I walked up there, I looked at my parents. I said, guys, the only word that I can just think of at this moment is legacy. You are leaving a legacy of Christ in your life. And you're going to walk into heaven someday, and I know there's going to be generations, if Christ doesn't come back, there's going to be generations that are here because of you, and you just saying yes. And church, this morning, what I encourage you to do is find your comfort in Christ, nothing else. So whether it's said here on earth or whether it's in heaven, you can walk in and see a legacy of people, not because of anything we've done. Again, we got to get past our own self. But because we just said, God, I want to make you first in my life. I want to love you and get to know you more than anything else. Because we could do a lot of things on our own strength, but when we are focused on him, what we're going to see is that we're worth very little. All the things that we've accomplished will not even be talked about in 100 years from now. The only thing that will matter is the eternal things. The only way that's going to change is if we focus on Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, you're so good to us. Father, I love you. I love you. I love that this thing that you do with us, it's just this relationship, it's this journey, it's not this coercion, it's not this guilting, but instead it's this loving, tender hand that comes along and begins to take us on this journey. And all we have to do is say yes. And Lord, we could talk about going all over the world, but the thing that is the most important is just that we would listen to you, Holy Spirit, so that you could call us where we are to go and that we would listen. Whether that's next door to our neighbor, whether that's across the world, God, whatever it is, I just pray that every person in here right now would begin to hear that. God, what do I need to do? What do you have of me? What do you call of me? I just pray, God, that our hearts would not be focused on what we can do on our own strength, but instead, God, what you want to do through us to change generations of people simply because we have gotten to know you. And that's what it's about. The disciples just got to know you, and they changed the world because of it. We love you, Father. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. I love you all so much. I want you guys, just real quick before you go, I would ask that you would go home tonight, and instead of asking God what he wants you to do as far as missions, what I want you to begin to do is just start talking to him. Talk to him. Just start telling him how much you love him. Begin to praise him. Begin to worship him. And then at the end of all that, say, God, now what is it that I can do for you? He'll tell you. He'll tell you. Amen? I love you guys. I'll see you guys next week. Or in your community groups. See y'all.